This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri, and with me is Andre Bernardo Taylor. He calls himself the sing-song poet, but he's more than that. He's much, much more. Here's Bernardo.
Voice, a choice we make. What sound to break the quiet? In a multicultural household, which language to reply with? To communicate, appreciate, explore. This mystery of history of culture. To choose the views of eagles, doves, or vultures. How do I find Sankofa? That mystical winged creature who will carry me over the Atlantic Ocean on a magical, majestic journey. Maybe turn back the hands of time so I will arrive to see, feel, taste, hear, smell the essence of the place my ancestors did once dwell. How do I cross this great divide beyond the fear, the doubt, the anguish? A look, an ear, a heart to part the language. A boat, a plane, a bird, a word to link my soul to heritage. Voice as bridge.
Mm.
Bonjour. Akim Jetta. E bon te ver. Harabaragani. How is your family? Grazie per l'aiuto. E het ut lif. Olorun bukon funo. Assalamu alaikum. Take none of this for granted. They speak 2,000 different languages on the continent of Africa, where my DNA says I am from. But so much information has been lost along the way. How do I find my way home? Or at least the home of my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grands, but do their lives even matter? After all, I understand home is where I am, where I stand, kneel, pray. How do I use voice as bridge to commune, to communicate to bias, privilege, hate? What words can I say when videos and body cams make their viewpoints shams? What is it I can say? And if I can't make it okay, how do I find Sankofa? The mystical winged creature to carry me over to where I am safe. To drive while black and have no fear nor apprehension of what moves I make.
Mm.
Or even in these states of grief, to still find peace. Asking God to lead the way to where I may learn how I can forgive. Prayers sent to where he lives, using my voice as bridge.
That's Bernardo, Andre Bernardo Taylor, singing his song. How do I find my home, he says. Bernardo, you said you were born with the backdrop of the civil rights movement, desegregation, and the Black Revolution. How did you turn all that into song?
That's a deep question. It's a long and winding road, Grace.
Yep.
I was born in 1955, earlier in the year, or maybe it was later in the year, I don't know which. I probably should know this, but that was the year Emmett Till got killed. So it was almost as if one spirit was being removed from the earth, another spirit was being born on the earth. That's how it works somehow in the mathematics of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember as a little child seeing the sign for colors only, and I didn't understand. And I saw so much stuff happening with the civil rights movement, with the dogs attacking people with water hoses and people beating the head. And I didn't understand because I was going to Catholic school at the time. And it was always about love your neighbor.
Mm.
It was always about treat them the way you would want to be treated. And so I didn't understand all this was going on. So I got a notebook and I started writing down stuff. And I wrote. And I remember even in Catholic school, I was liking this girl named Tina Lazo. And Tina Lazo was a white girl, according to what they say. But I understand now that she was actually a Caucasian with Greece as her heritage, the name Lazo. So somebody told me, you can't like Tina because you're black. And I what? And so that kind of shattered my world and made me step back for a minute. And I carried that kind of caution with me all throughout my life.
Bernardo, you have made a contribution and you've only been here for 1 minute. Please give us another poem. This is going to be a wake-up call, this program.
This poem is about somebody that, name of the poem is Time with Grandma. I climb inside my mind. I do not know what year it is. I am listening to Al Stewart's Time Passages with my grandma in her living room in Columbia Park apartments in 1970-something. And something is stirring within me in this reoccurring visit I have sometimes. There's moisture in my eyes as if tears might appear at any moment. The atonement, so subtle, is not so much from trouble. But if only I knew how fleeting time was, how few the meetings would be with someone I loved. She was the woman who fought my own mama for my possession. She believed Barbara was too reckless, too wild to raise a child, even though, or maybe because, my mother was her daughter. She fought the fight that ended with me taken from her arms, but not from her life. For months at a time, we would find ourselves living together over the years. So why this occasion? What is the meaning of here? Listening to this song, not Three Times a Lady, which was a favorite, or One Nation Under a Groove, or ELO, or Men at Work, or any music from earlier times that we both used to know together. His eye is on the sparrow, and time's bequeathed forlorn. Or how you'll never walk alone, which begins with when you walk through a storm. Mm. Messages she planted, she handed me in song, echoing through decades after she is gone. You know, she used to be a singer in the nightclubs in Georgia back in the day. She had dreams of being a professional, but her destiny was not Annie, but rather Bessie May. I did not understand her dreamy-eyed crooning back then, when she would disappear into the memories of what she had left behind. Where was she in her mind? What is the meaning of me being in this time, at this time? But if only I knew how fleeting time really was, how few the meetings would be with someone that I loved. I touched this memory with tenderness as it deserves. And then on cue, the words emerge. Well, I'm not the kind to live in the past. The years run too short and the days too fast. The things you lean on are things that don't last. Well, it's just now and then my line gets cast into these time passages. I know you're in there, you're just out of sight. Whoa, time passages. Buy me a ticket on the last train home tonight.
Oh, what a treat. What a special treat you've brought us, Bernardo. Your love and your passion under every line. You have a book in your hand. What's the title?
The title is Bridge Over Aggravated Troubles.
Says a lot. If we read the book, what do we learn?
You read the book, you learn that life is a journey. You learn that start at point A to point B. You have to get across whatever it is that's in front of you, whether it's learning how to walk, learning how to talk, learning how to think, learning how to form friendships. So it's everything is a bridge to get over to the next thing. And right now we're living in some terrible, turbulent times, and we need a way to get over those things. And we have to stop looking at those things as barriers, but try to find the bridge that will help us get across.
Whoa. You stop seeing them as barriers, but a wall to go over.
Yes.
That is fabulous. So everyone should get this book. Say the title again.
Bridge Over Aggravated Troubles.
By Bernardo. Andre Taylor Bernardo. Where do people get it? On Amazon?
they can contact me directly at my email, which is deotp123@gmail.com. Which is deependofthepool123@gmail.com.
We'll tell them again later. And so let's hear more from this book.
Well, now that we've done one from, you recognize Sankofa, I think, because I wrote that for you, one of your programs, Sankofa Voices Bridge, right?
I do.
Thank you for that. The second one for Grandma, and now one that features my mom, and one of my heroes, Uncloaked from Crystal's Clarity. The bristles of crystals, luminous stones, through which we gaze to set the tone, to be advised as wise men are, to study closely to reach afar. Dear Mom, who was once my heaven, my teacher, my protector, how sweet is your claim. Thank you for all you gave to me to help me to survive. Stone after stone I have come to turn to learn no two lives are the same. Some have better beginnings, and there are challenges there for all. Some have climbs that shine or have light that glimmers, though not as bright, while others have known great falls. I have learned through turning stones as you once taught me for insight. To see things in a way at first quite unaware. And I can now identify with another's point of view. Life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
We know where that came from.
Yes.
And so you've had quite a journey as a poet. And for years now, you've been actually working with groups. So I consider you an activist as well as a poet. But what are these people? What are these groups? Now, I know the names of them. I remember you, Poets in Progress. I remember Writers on the Green Line and Collective Voices, who are very dear to our hearts here at the Library of Congress. Tell us about each of those organizations.
Well, Poets in Progress was how I met you.
Right.
But Dolores Kendrick.
Dolores Kendrick.
It was Dolores Kendrick's program. And I met Dolores through Lady Di. And I went with Lady Di, who I'd befriended, to one of her events, and I saw how wonderful it was at that, you know, where they were. And she introduced me to Dolores. And then she told Dolores, he's a great poet. And Dolores said, come on down and see me.
So was she in the hotel then?
No, she was in the office on Constitution
Avenue. Oh, her office, okay. And she used to like to meet people there at that hotel.
I've done that before, too.
Me too.
But I went down to see her, and I came in with this poem, and I started reading her the poem called My Voice. And she told me, oh, no, you can't do that. That's this and that. And no, that's third person. That's first person. They don't mix. Da, 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 da. And I'm looking at her like, but I've been everywhere I do this poem, people applaud like crazy. Like, she said, well, no. Well, we can work with it. She said, well, I think you have some potential. So come on. And she brought me on and she taught me about being a professional poet and standing in front of the mic and having respect for calling myself a poet.
Oh, how great.
She was awesome.
Well, you know, I listen to your poetry. There's so much skilled craft in it. Just the vowels that resound. You keep repeating vowels. You have the consonants that come up all the time. And it is, I don't know if you're conscious of it, but it is a seasoned poet. Your work is among every professional poet. So I don't know. I heard you before you knew Dolores, though.
Is that right?
I heard you publicly.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know how much she changed you, but whatever you're doing, I would say keep doing it.
Yeah.
Let's have some more.
I want to do this one for my veteran friends. I met so many different poets over the years, and one was Richard. Richard introduced me to a series he was doing on the Mall, where we'd go down every Veterans Day on the Mall and read poetry. And I met so many vets there, and some who told me their stories, who had been to the Vietnam War, some had gone to the Korean War, some had come from Afghan. And it was so, it just let me know that even though I was a sailor, I was never as close as they were to being in harm's way. But for all of us veterans, we sacrifice a lot when we serve our country. And this poem, I tried to capture all of that and tell my friends, thank you for your service.
Beautiful.
to see the light of tracer rounds, to shrink down to its power, where lightning flashes, thunder booms, where minutes feel like hours. Who will know this day by day the way that it may be? They call them tours, these scenes from war that lack quaint scenery. Through death and smoke, our nostrils choke in search of air unstained. How can dreams return as clean when these thoughts remain? Thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice. To live your life from duffel bag to barracks, trenches, tents, to go unknowing to your foes wherever you are sent, to spend a day, a week, a month, or more to make a friend, and in 1 hour's firefight to see the whole thing end. We carry them still in memory, in pockets of the mind, for oath cannot be broken. We leave no one behind. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice. Where night gives way to sullen days, where routine is imperative, to look at changes as dangerous signs, decreasing your chances to live. When so alone meets far from home on holidays and such, when prayers are said and letters read in place of loved one's touch. These are the times that come to mind when someone says aloud, "We feel appreciation for how you served this nation. You should be very proud. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice."
Wow. We will be telling people at the end of the show where they can get this book. And you bring to us such truth and such passion at this time when we really need the poet as the conscience of the nation. The poet is the conscience, and I'm hearing that right in front of me today. Tell us about your comment that you were affected by Mother Goose, Dr. Seuss, Langston Hughes, and Gil Scott-Heron. That's a good combination. So how do they shape your sound?
Mother Goose, first of all, came to me when I was a little kid. Like I said, you know, when there were times when I couldn't go shopping at Woolworths or whatever, I couldn't go in there. I felt so outward, and what I had to come for me was books. And nursery rhymes allowed me to escape into fantasy where everything was okie dokie, everything was okay, everything was sweet and harmonious. And that's where I went. And I remember I was living on Stanton Road when the bookmobile came down the street one day. And I went inside to get a book, and I saw Dr. Seuss, Green Eggs and Ham, and I Will Not Eat Them, Sam I Am, and all of that. You know, I got some Dr. Seuss books, and I read them, and I liked his rhyme, and I liked the way that he told stories that made you think about humanity and how to treat other people. Going beyond Dr. Seuss, at the same time, I was listening to Motown, so I was digging Smokey Robinson and The Temptations and listening to Stevie Wonder and everybody tell these stories in 3 minutes, you know, with a melody. So everything was rhythmical, was capturing me, right? And then when I got to high school, I read Langston, and Langston came out with Mother the Sun, and that was so beautiful. And Raisin in the Sun, oh my God. Langston, and then finally I heard, you know, America, you know, the two, I Am to America and America the Beautiful. Lastly, because music has always been a part of my backdrop, Gil Scott-Heron came out, and I heard Gil, and I was like, whoa, man, who is what is he saying? Dude, you can't say that. And he just gave me so much courage to speak the truth, and he kind of shaped my viewpoint to the politics of it all. And everything is politics. People say, I don't do politics. Yes, you do. Everything is political. All our connections. One person leads us to the next person, leads us to the next person, leads us to the next person. Those are kind of like those ideas. And I want to do a book about that.
Well, I'll tell you, you're a leader right now. You're leading us right now. This is what leadership is. You need to write a book with a title, though. Okay. Mother Goose, Dr. Seuss, Langston Hughes, and Gil Scott-Heron.
Oh, I love it.
That is it. Because what a combination. But each one has its own wisdom.
Yes.
And I really was struck like a sword in the heart when you said you couldn't go into Woolworths. Tell me what suffering does for poetry.
It makes you dig deep. It makes you stand in a place almost like a meditation. when you get quiet and you just think about things and you try to make sense of them and you draw yourself maps as to how to get from here to there. Once again, we're back to the bridge, right?
As an artist, you did something with that. Many people do different things with that. But as an artist, you said, I have to make this palpable. I have to find a form for these feelings and shape this art in a way that will work for everybody. And we are the beneficiaries today.
But Grace, I didn't even realize it at first. There were poems and songs and thoughts and ideas and notebooks. And I started to share them with certain people. And they would look at it and say, whoa, I thought that. Oh, I felt that. And I was like, wow. And that's when I started to realize that it wasn't, that God was not giving it just to help me cope, but to help other people see that they're not alone in the world. We're not disconnected. We are connected to each other. And if we can see that and find those connections, then we can take care of each other.
And you're doing it. And you're teaching us to do it right this minute. And I hope everyone who hears this feels what I feel. And to feel more, let's hear another poem. Well, Andre, Bernardo, Taylor. But the book just has your name as Bernardo on the
cover. That's
correct. Right? Well, that's how we know you.
Well, that's because that when I decided to really call myself a poet, God told me that who you are, because I was Brother Dre at one time, then I was a sing-song poet. And then God said, who you are is in the middle of who you are. And in the middle of Andre Bernardo Taylor is Bernardo. That's at the core of me.
Who you are is in the middle
of who,
you are.
In the core of you, in the core of yourself.
You know the Bible. You know the Bible
yes,
well, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes, yes.
You live by it, don't you?
Somewhat. I live by the word. Right?
Let's hear your word, sweetie pie.
You got it. I'm going to do one because of what we're talking about, unity. I'm going to shortcut it a little bit. No, I'll do this one in entirety. Unity, the reason. Raise your hand above your head. Raise your hand to take this pledge. Be considerate to what is said. Unity is the reason for the fist. Number one is for me. Number two is for the family. Number three is for the worker standing next to me. Mm. Number four is for the millions more feeling the same thing at the core. Number five is for him who keeps us all alive, helps us to survive, and reminds us all. Together we stand, we're divided, we fall. For all of these, we make the call to bring them together just like this. Unity is the reason for the fist. Not to punch or start a fight, just a symbol to unite. Single entities gather tight. Unity is the reason for the fist. Number one is for me. Number two is for the family. Number three is for the worker standing next to me. Number four is for the millions more feeling the same thing at the core. Number five is for the one that keeps us alive, helps us to survive, reminds us all that together we stand, we're divided, we fall. For all these, we make the call to bring them together just like this. Unity is the reason for the fist. Being united, the perfect excuse, not to lash out in abuse. Being frustrated is no excuse. Unity is the reason for the fist. Number one is for me. Number two is for the family. Number three is for the worker standing next to me. Number four is for the millions more feeling the same thing at the core. Number five is for the one that keeps us alive, helps us to survive, and reminds us all that together we stand, we're divided, we fall. For all of these, we make the call to bring them together just like this. Unity is the reason for the fist. So with all things being equal, it just means power to the people. History has given sequels, and a fist bump is not lethal. Number one is for me. Number two is for the family. Number three is for the workers standing next to me. Number four is for the millions more feeling the same thing at the core. Number five is for the one that keeps us alive, helps us to survive, and reminds us all, together we stand, we're divided, we fall. For all of this, we make a call to bring them together just like this. Unity is the reason for the fist.
Unity is the reason for the fist, not for the fight.
That's right.
Whoa. You know, you should be out and about. Do you have any plans for any public readings? For your book?
I have one coming up in April. I'm trying to get lock in the date for it. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be magical.
Where?
It's going to be at the National Harbor at Arch the Nation. And I'll be doing two other readings with Collective Voices. You can check our website or email me to get the dates of those. We can do one in March and one in April as well.
And we will also announce it with your podcast, too. Okay. So people can get the book. We'll get your email and everything else. Because we need a leader. And poets are the only ones left with conscience. Because other people have sold out. So thank you. We are looking for you now. We are looking up to you now. We are looking with you, and we need you, Bernardo.
Okay.
We need you. And we're going to hear some more from Bernardo, Andre Bernardo Taylor. I just want to know what you were like as a little boy. I think you were curious. I think you were a reader. I think you were sweet. Were you good? Naughty?
I was mischievous.
What a surprise. Hey, I wonder how that could possibly be possible. Not you who's still mischievous, by the way.
Hey, well, still you know.
But a bookworm, right?
Somewhat of a bookworm, mm-hmm. and outdoor. I used to like to go down to back then in D.C., you could climb trees and get pears out of trees.
Well, where were you born?
I was in Northeast D.C.,
Uh-huh. Where did you go to school?
I went to school. I started at Our Lady Perpetual Help. I went to St. Benedict's de Moore, and I finally went to St. Teresa's, and then I was tired of Catholic school, so that's when I entered public school.
Good education, though.
Yes. Oh,
very
my God.
Solid education.
When I got to junior high school and we were studying something, I looked at him like, man, I learned that 2 years ago. What are y'all doing?
I have to admit it, because your work is skilled, your work is learned, it's literary, and it's based in real understanding of grammar. So let's give the nuns that anyway.
I do.
Let's hear another poem.
Okay, this is one that could be just about anything. It could be about forest fires. It could be about floods. It could be about stock market crashes. It could be about epidemics. But it's about Puerto Rico. What about Puerto Rico? Our country, 'tis of thee, a mystery of reasons. Collusion affected our elections, yet no one speaks of treason. So divided, we cannot hide it and can't see any movement. No persuasion in conversations, discrepancy in improvement. We don't agree in what we see or how we think or feel. Some enact alternative facts to challenge what is real. Life is hard in this regard. Who can we really trust? What is correct? Where is respect for every one of us? I know. What about Puerto Rico? So many discussions all about Russians, but Congress takes its time. Their patriotism is a given while towing the party line. Our officials thwart potential to truly make us great. They side with greed, ignoring need and barely deal with hate. Justice dwindles, racism rekindled, houseman on the porch. Very fine people see no evil, not by the light of the torch. Inciting danger, misplaced anger, shaming and blaming and such. Flip the focus, statements bogus, the truth is much too much. I know, but what about Puerto Rico? They complain you best refrain from disparaging our flag while marching with zeal through Charlottesville with stars and bars to brag. Or First Amendments, blaring resentments with guns spewing hatred and curses. And police kill almost at will, saying all they did deserved it. Unembarrassed the way they carry the statements false distorted. Caught on tape, and still they make a lie the thing reported. I shake my head to clear the dread to not take on depression. With all that's given from television, sorting facts from questions. I know, but what about Puerto Rico? Polls are showing distress is growing and so too separation. We used to claim we were ordained a beacon for all nations. Now lights are dim. We look to him, have hopes to no avail. People are dying. He keeps lying. it feels like we have failed. Belittling tweeting keeps increasing. Staffers come and go. Unqualified hiring, he keeps firing, but this is no TV show. Secret meetings, twisted briefings, a cartoon world bizarro. Global warming, dictator warnings, will we yet see tomorrow? People are dying, he keeps lying. I know, but what about Puerto Rico?
That's a banner. That is a banner, and it's so relevant. That is so pertinent to this moment in history. You were in the military service.
Yes.
How many years?
I did 9.
And in the Navy?
In the Navy. I had 2 surgeries, one on my right knee, the second on my left knee. And after the one on my second, my left knee, they told me that they wanted me to get on an aircraft carrier. And I told them my leg's not strong enough to do an aircraft carrier, man. Do you know how much steel that is?
I have walked the stairway between levels.
The ladders, yeah.
I'll tell you something.
It's steep.
It was the worst thing I've ever.
Yes.
The ocean underneath you, and there's
yes.
No, and there's no back.
And the ship is, yes.
There's no back to the steps.
No.
I froze right in the middle with an admiral behind me. I got panicky. That is the worst thing. But anyway, you have learned a lot from
yes.
being in the military.
Yes.
And you told me, I mean, I was a military wife for 35 years.
I know.
And I still have
I read your book.
I know what PTSD is, and I
yeah.
know. Tell me what you learned about yourself.
I learned that I have to look to me to make the best judgments, to make the best decisions. I thought the military would teach me discipline, but the way they teach you discipline is you mess up, and then they slap you down, and then they take away your rank, they restrict you to the ship. So all of those things are punitive. They kind of make you either, one, resentful, or they make you stop and question how you got there.
Mm.
So it's best to not get to that point where somebody has to slap you down. Well, as we say, one of the places I've been to, it's better to be humble than be humiliated.
Good advice. There's in the military, I have to admit, there's always someone above. There's always someone above.
But as long as they're good people, Grace, as long as your leaders have a heart for their soldiers and care about them, man.
Did you experience that?
Did
you experience
that? I had an Admiral Claris. Oh, my God. He was so down to earth. I'm thinking, you know, Admiral. Oh, he's an Admiral. Petty Sotelo, come in. Let's talk about it a minute. Yeah. Well, I was a little boy in Greece. We did this. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. And da-da-da-da-da-da. How was your job?
I hope he hears
this. And I'm looking at that like, this is an admiral talking to me like I'm somebody.
Guess who what? You're somebody. I hope he hears this.
I would love to have him. I wrote a poem for him.
I wonder where he lives.
That has not been published yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's called A Mass of Storms.
We're going to look up. I'm going to look him up.
Yeah.
We're going to get him that poem. I promise.
Great.
And a final poem from Andre Brinardo Taylor.
Okay. Let's see. What will I do? How about this one? Oh, can I do 2?
Yeah.
All right. Because that's the last one I saved as a surprise for you. All right. This one is one of the things that helped me as I became a poet, as a young child, and understanding how the world worked and how and what gift God had given me to help me get through everything I was going through, a bridge, if you will. I believe in poetry. As for me, I believe in poetry. I believe in its magic. I believe in its ability to face something tragic, to place it in a place, a frame that helps us get past it. No matter how long, with power so strong, believe, let it take you to where you belong. I believe in poetry. I believe in inspiration. I believe the words that come are of enjoined collaboration. A poet that knows this shows this in awe of creation. With power so strong in our prayers and our songs. Receive, let it take you to pastures of calm. I believe in poetry. I believe in its strength. I believe from haikus to sonnets, no matter the length. When word is served pure from heart, the power is evident. Through our prayers and our songs, like a praise or a bomb. Conceive, Let it take you from darkness to dawn. Poetry knowingly enters in places, the core of what grace is, so sweet its embrace is. So come forth and taste this. I believe in poetry. Do you?
I have heard that read aloud, and I think it was in the Capitol. I think it was on my birthday.
I think you might be right.
We had you were at my birthday party? And,
yes.
And that was my gift.
Yes.
So let's hear a last one.
The last one is it's got your name in it. It's by grace. By a grace I do not understand, I was able to continue. She entered in the journal. That was me. Then Edward asked me, what is it you see? What are the graces that help me face the trauma and those places far removed from scenes of love? Seen from utter darkness where the blind ones lead the blind and caverns falling furthermore behind. What are the graces that place me in those shelters apart from helter-skelter that melted iron minds? There were calming words emerging that were urging me to pray, that said I didn't have to say a thing aloud. But hold on to belief, there would be comfort for my grief. If I would only seek, I'd surely find. The graces, the graces, the graces. The race is given to those who do endure, and purity is not a thing for real. The graces, the graces, the graces that take me from my weakest ways to build. But how can I explain or understand these things I cannot cradle in my hands? What are the graces that replace the things I knew, the abuse that for so long I held on to, that said to me this truly was the path, do unto others before they do it unto you. Mm. Beware the smiles that hold the hidden wrath. There was shame for not being one with plenty. There was jealousy that sometimes came with envy. There is sadness in the lacking for so many. When I compare the glaring differences in these instances of pain, how is it that I do not go insane? When the demons in my mind start screaming, giving chase, how do I hold the calm look on my face? My answer, grace.
The truth is named Bernardo. The truth is named Bernardo. And this is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. We're in the studios of the Library of Congress. The program is produced by Forest Woods Media Production, post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making the program possible. Funding is provided by the Sennepit Fund, the Rivada Foundation, Natalie Canavore, and Sandy Jackson Cohen. Our engineer is Mike Turpin. I'm Grace Cavalieri.